The men, thoroughly uneasy, gathered a great heap of dead logs and kept up a roaring fire throughout the night, one or the other sitting on guard most of the time. About midnight, the thing came down through the forest opposite across the brook and stayed there on the hillside for nearly an hour. They could hear the branches crackle as it moved about, and several times it uttered a harsh, grating, long-drawn moan, a peculiar, sinister sound. Yet it did not venture near the fire.
"Hey, Sarge, your boy is on TV again."
Jimmy always knew what to say to piss me off. He loved it.
We didn't look the same 7 years later. Jimmy still hobbled from the 762 in his leg, and he had put on at least 50. But so had I. What can I say? The only good thing in this town was the food. The Al Pastor carts near the liquor store always gave us a small discount to look the other way on health code violations. You learn to make fair trades like that when they don't hurt anybody. And damn it, they might not have been as good as the ones in East LA, but good El Pastor is good El Pastor. Jimmy and I used to be what ideal cops looked like. A marketing agency couldn't have done a better job casting a commercial. I was Mexican, he was Korean, both of us with chiseled jaws, clean-shaven, luscious heads of hair, and ripped. Jimmy will never admit it, but I was always a little more jacked. At that moment, a low rumbling invaded the room. At first, it sounded like a subway train, but instead of dying down, it grew louder and louder. People began to look around, surprised but not particularly fearful. As the noise grew, Basil's face turned ashen with sudden understanding. He grasped Amanda's hand.
"Run, Amanda, run now!"
His voice was low and shaky.
"Go, dear girl, and don't look back! Get to the bodyguards and save yourself!"
Amanda just stared at him in shock. As can happen in moments of great danger, everything seemed to slow down. She registered his frightened eyes as he let go of her hand. She would remember that look forever. She was up on her feet, still hesitating, still trying to understand.
"Go!"
he urged with a wide-eyed panic, nudging her toward the elevator as one would a child. She finally turned to run. Passive toxicity might not grab headlines, but its subtlety does not diminish its impact. It's the withdrawal in response to conflict instead of seeking resolution, or the silent treatment as a form of punishment. It's manipulation, not through direct actions, but through inaction, or the withholding of affection, communication, or support. This form of toxicity is insidious, often because it doesn't leave visible marks. Yet it erodes trust and intimacy, leaving confusion and hurt in its wake. Defining active toxicity. Conversely, active toxicity is unmistakable. It's the raised voice during an argument, the cutting remark meant to belittle, or the blatant disregard for another's boundaries. It includes behaviors like gaslighting, where one party manipulates another into questioning their reality, or verbal abuse, where words are used as weapons. Active toxicity demands attention because its effects are immediate and palpable, casting long shadows over relationships and self-esteem.